Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Poncio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
Oh, good. Just as the siren started. Sweet. That's really great. Okay, hold up. Why are you freezing? Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 108 of Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast. In an shocking turn of events, we are recording out of doors in a public park for undisclosed reasons. So hashtag podcast in a park. But Karen, if you can hear some background noise, it is because Karen and I are out of doors in the wide, wide world together in person because of reasons. But yeah, so we're going to have an interesting experience doing an update about news for season 5B and a season 5A overview of what we learnt and what we want to know about. And Karen's going to be in charge of most of that because she wrote it up and I can't see the doc on her phone. So she's just going to tell me things and I'm going to react to them, basically. And it's going to be out of doors, probably with some sirens and construction, maybe bees as well. So
there are a fair amount of bees over there.
Yeah, so I hope everyone enjoys the novelty of that and doesn't just think it's poor production value. We did have the choice of doing it in a very quiet, nice, tiled hotel lobby, which would have had a good echo and some actual nice sound, but we would decided to do it in a quaint little park outdoors instead because we've never done that before.
Thank you for not blaming it on me.
Yeah.
Because it was basically my idea.
Karen really wanted to do it in a park, so we're doing it in a park. That's fine. We'll do it. So if you would like to join us to talk about season 5A or 5B, you can contact us on Twitter, which is NATW Podcast. You can email us, natwpodcast@gmail.com as well. You can join our Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram, which is natwpodcast at Instagram as well. We do have a few pictures at the moment to post just of our being together in the same space, but they're not going to be anything to do with Teen Wolf. They're mainly going to be to do with Hamilton. Yeah, Karen, before we get started, would you like to tell the nice people what we did last night?
Yeah, so Brittany, who has only ever seen, what, 5 minutes, she said?
She watched 5 minutes of Teen Wolf so that she could watch us on Wolf Watch. She's a friend from Hyperball.
Which is very nice. And
she's on Rewatchable with us, and you should listen to that podcast,
yes,
too.
She was very lucky yesterday. She ended up not having to go to jury duty, so she hung out with us for the day. Won the Fun Home lottery, so we got to see Fun Home in the afternoon.
This is Broadway shows, by the way,
yes,
for people who don't know what that is.
And then ended up also winning the Hamilton lottery, which is, like, better than winning the real lottery.
Yeah.
And we saw the evening show, and Nat had a seat, but Brittany and I were standing room only, which is fine. I was gonna go no matter what, so that was very exciting and a religious experience, and I want to go again already.
Do you want to tell people what Hamilton is?
It is a rap about Alexander Hamilton, basically.
Yeah, it is a rap-based musical about founding father Alexander Hamilton and his life.
So if you like epic rap battles of history, you're gonna love the show.
Is that a thing that you like?
That is a thing that I love.
What is that?
You've never heard of that?
No wonder you wanted to see this show.
Oh my god, yeah, it's these two guys, Nice Peter and Epic Lloyd. Those are their like internet names.
My brother likes Nice Peter.
Oh, okay,
so I've heard of that.
Yeah. They do seasons and they're up to like, they just finished season 4 and they
go through history.
They pit two historical figures against each other. Not always historical. One time they did Genghis Khan against the Easter Bunny, which is actually like really good. I really loved it. And they pit them against each other. But like they get, like Snoop Dogg has been on there before. Like they get some really big names sometimes. And George Watsky's been on there and Weird Al. And they've done all these different characters. And it's amazing. You should definitely go look that up. But yes, if you are a fan of epic rap battles of history, Hamilton is the show for you. It was absolutely incredible.
There was definitely some girls behind me who like were talking, I think, before the show, like they were kind of, they were there because they were history majors or whatever, and they clearly have some like feelings about the founding fathers. Like one of them kept referring to Thomas Jefferson as T-Jeff, and I was just gonna ask you what you thought of T-Jeff's mic drop in the middle of the show.
Oh my god, I about lost it because the guy who played him was my absolute favorite and he was so good on like so many levels, but yeah, that was pretty amazing. The mic drop was perfect.
Okay, well, we can talk about Teen Wolf now, I suppose.
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah,
so should we just kick this off?
Okay, I'm just gonna have that and then
basically we're gonna do the season 5A overview first, and I've kind of split it up into characters because I figured we'll do like their whole sort of plot point and we'll end up tying people in together with each other. But I've also got Twitter feedback in here with like certain things, so we'll kind of be doing feedback along the way and then some more at the end. But first we have Scott, of course, and his main story over 5A was started off, we see him still missing Allison, which I really liked that they incorporated that it's not something that like we've just moved on from. And yet he also tells Kira that he loves her, and it sort of slips out, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't mean it, which I really liked that. It was nice. So what do you think of their relationship still? Are you still into Scott and Kira?
Well, you haven't got to the end part of 5A in which she, like, left and that they're,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but I don't think that has necessarily anything to do with their relationship because they still love each other, but she had to leave for, like, personal reasons.
I suppose so. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I don't know. I'm stuck on the end part. Like, I think the saying I love you and it's slipping out is probably more authentic than if you know you'd planned it, like, you know, like over dinner, you know, Kira, I love you, like, you know, like
Natalie's holding my arm and staring into my eyes right now
over a romantic table, you know, like I think that it would be, it like saying accidentally means it's like in his head all the time, you know, like,
yeah, that's what I was gonna say too, because Scott is like very, like, he's a pretty emotional guy, and so the fact that it just slipped out like that I think is really characteristic of him as a whole. But
yeah,
we can talk more about like them and Kira leaving and everything in a little bit. But the other thing was his asthma comes back. And a lot of it has to do with him as a child and losing his dog, and that kind of leads into like we get a better sense of why he would want to be a veterinarian, which was nice to get a little bit of that history, although it was kind of traumatic seeing him losing his dog at such a young age.
Yeah, I liked that whole plot, but I'm still sort of a bit confused about whether the asthma is, like, psychosomatic or not. Like, if he's actually...
I think it is.
...having... Like, if it's physical or mental, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, I think, like, it's mental leading into a very physical reaction.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, he's losing confidence in himself as a leader, I can understand why, you know, his mind and his body would sort of revert back to this very physical ailment that he used to have before he turned into a werewolf. So for me, it definitely makes sense, but I think it's tied into him losing that confidence in himself.
Yeah, it's just a bit of an odd thing to happen, I guess, like to have that happen. What was I gonna say? Yeah, to have that happen and that it hasn't, you know, that if that has the physical ability to, you know, to happen, to like come back, that it didn't sort of come at any other point, like with Allison dying or anything like that. But yeah. I don't know. It made me wonder if it was like something, you know, some weakness, like was something done to him? Is it literally just mental, like something getting into his head? Or is it, you know, like really genuinely a panic attack? Or like was something sort of done to him, you know, like Dread Doctor style, to sort of bring it back?
I mean, I think even when he lost Allison, things were so crazy and so busy, and not that it didn't affect him, because clearly it didn't. Clearly he still has a lot of feelings about it and about her, but I feel like he was still confident in his role as a leader. He was still trying to keep it together for everybody else. But now just everyone and everything is falling apart. And I think, you know, he's having so much trouble handling that right now. But I mean, speaking of which, like, he's losing his pack and everybody's sort of going off in their own separate ways. And we'll talk about each of them in turn. But we have a piece of feedback from @ErikaKiana, who says, how do you think Scott will earn back his pack's respect, and how long do you think it will take?
I don't think he doesn't have their respect. I think that's in his head. Like, at least with, like, Lydia, like, you know, Styles would come back to him in a heartbeat if he'd have Styles, you know,
right.
Like, I think it's completely in his head. Liam, there's going to be beef.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I don't think they're against Scott at all. Like, I think it's mental. Like, I think it's him thinking that he's done something wrong, and maybe they need to reassure him that he hasn't, but I don't think, like, Lydia or, you know, Malia or Kira would do anything. You know, I think that Liam and him are going to have a problem. Styles, you know, he's the one sending Styles away at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'd be curious to see if Malia is really going to, team up with Theo. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah, I'll agree with you that I don't necessarily think that it's about respect. I think it's about, like, I think Lydia was disappointed in him when he went after Corey, which is fair. I think Malia is worried about him judging her because she wants to go after her mother.
Yeah.
Styles, I think, is feeling pretty alone and probably a little jaded right now, but I don't think that he's lost any respect for Scott. I mean, he's worried about Scott losing respect of him.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it's a mess, but I don't think it's like everyone against Scott mess, basically.
In terms of like how long it'll take to get everybody back, I really don't know. I would kind of like to see character episodes where like one at a time they all kind of come back. We know that Kira's gonna get her own episode, and she's going to start dealing with, like, her issues with the Kitsune spirit. So it'll be interesting to see when she comes back into the fold. Because right now, like, she is out of town. We know she's, like, in New Mexico or something like that, right? She's going there.
I guess. I don't know.
Or the desert or so. I don't know. I think I've got notes here, but
Peyote spirit quest? I don't know. Maybe. Sorry if there's some rustling. I'm eating watermelon, but never mind. I'll try not to do that. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be, like, a whole season job or if it'll be, like, you know, pretty swiftly. I think that, you know, Hayden, you know, being alive in zombie form, like, I think, you know, Liam and Scott may depend on whether Hayden is actually savable or not, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah,
you know, like whether those characters that came back as like the zombie pack, as I'm going to call them,
I think that's definitely what we should call
them. I don't know if they're gonna be like, if they're really alive or not, or if they're just like shells of who they used to be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Styles, too, you know, how are you feeling about our murder baby? He did kill Donovan.
Yeah.
It was in self-defense. Yet, Scott is still not aware of the real story.
Yeah, that's bad. I think that as soon as Scott knows the real story, he'll be fine, like, with yeah. it, you know? I'm curious about a lot of things. I'm curious about, you know, the sheriff, about what the sheriff is going to do when he hears, like, Styles tell the exact story that Theo told, if you know what I mean? And it'll be like, what is this nonsense, if you know what I mean? So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, and I mean, Scott is aware that Theo's a bad guy now, so
yeah.
I think we're definitely one more step in the right direction. But
yeah.
Styles has been keeping a lot of secrets this season. I mean, he kept secrets from Scott, and he kept secrets from Malia. Granted, she kept secrets from him, too. But I was wondering, why wasn't it made a big deal that he was also keeping things from Lydia? You know, because they've been so close.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they didn't have, like, a ton together. And there was a moment where he did, like, almost tell her, like, in the forest. And, like, she was clearly the first person that he wanted to tell, like, and, you know, the trust, you know, trust and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, would you want to tell anyone if you did that?
I don't know, probably. Like, I'd feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
I'd want to tell my best friend, but, like, considering Styles' best friend is Scott McCall, like, I can understand why he didn't, but I think, you know,
I mean, there's also the question, like, how, not that I'm, like, against Scott and Styles, but, like, how, what does it mean if you, like, don't trust your best friend to be, like, unconditional, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, like, I think there's just a lot of insecurity there.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. I'll be interested to see Lydia's reaction and how she ends up handling it going into 5B.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking of Styles not really trusting anyone, he doesn't. That's been made very clear. And he's also had a lot of anger issues in 5A, which we've seen before. Usually it's been comedic relief, like, you know, with
exploding
the coach
at something.
Yeah. And stuff like that. But this was definitely a lot deeper and a lot scarier. And I know we'll get into, like, potentially what Styles will be dealing with in 5B, but I definitely think this is, like, setting something up.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely an ongoing character trait for him. And I was actually talking about that last week to Alyssa, one of the Teen Wolf writers. Or she's not one of the writers anymore. She's an editor. But she writes for another show now. But, yeah, I think we were talking about, like, how there's, you know, some of the comedic relief with Liam and Mason, because if you tried to make Styles do that again, it would fall really flat now, like, because of the way that his character has, you know, gotten, like, if he just, like, went back one day and he's like, you know, I'm fine, like, I'm, you know, oh, lol, I'm falling off my chair and, oh, something's happened.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like that anymore. Like, he's basically, like, an anxiety-riddled mess, and if they tried to just put him, it's not saying that he can't have funny moments, but if they tried to make him the innocent comedic relief now, it would not work.
Well, that's sort of like what we talked an episode or two ago with the gift sets, comparing him, like, from season
one. Yeah, there's a murder!
Yeah, and it's so different now. Yeah. And he's changed so much, and he's been through so much, so
yeah,
I think that's definitely true. But the last big thing with Styles, too, and we have a tweet from @StephanieG_1995. Do you think the whole Styles still likes her, Lydia, thing was meant to be significant, or is it an offhand comment?
I'm still really confused by why that scene even happened. Like, I get that they were, like, talking about their own relationship as well and stuff, but him being, like, he still likes her anyway. You know, Kira Beek saying that and then Scott saying, yeah, but it's not like that. It's like, no, but the answer is like, she was saying it in a leading manner, like, in an intention of, like, oh, he still has, like, feelings for her. It's like, yes, he obviously likes her in the term of, like, I like Karen, I like flowers, you know? Like, they're in the same friendship circle, in the same pack. They're obviously friends and they like each other. That's not what Kira meant. And Scott said, yeah, but it's different now. So he knows... So either he's saying that Styles does have feelings for Lydia, or... he doesn't speak English correctly, and he should have said, no, it's different now, basically, if you know what I mean.
I think Styles still has feelings for Lydia. I think his feelings have changed. She's not this unattainable creature now who's at the top of the pecking order in school. She's one of his best friends, and not that I think that he wasn't genuine before, but I think whatever he feels toward her is going to be a lot more genuine, is going to be on a deeper level than whatever he felt before. But I've always felt like there's going to be
a confrontation. Not like a bad one,
no,
but like a...
but like, I think those feelings are always going to be there. Whether they end up panning out, I honestly have no idea. But I think that, like, they're laying little sprinkles of, you know, possibilities.
Like, he's always going to have, like, rose-colored glasses about
her. Exactly, yeah. And actually, I was wondering if it could be a lot more significant in terms of Lydia rather than Styles, because Scott was also talking about how Lydia used to pretend to not be smart, and Kira was like, are Lydia? Like, she was really confused by it. And I wonder if maybe that scene could have been more of a setup for the person that Lydia is going to be turning into, because clearly, you know, by the end of 5A, she's a little crazy pants now.
Yeah.
So it could be something to kind of, I don't know, remind us that Lydia's good at faking things.
Yeah, or like
something.
Where she came from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But speaking of Lydia, one of her... it wasn't really a big plot point, but I think it was significant nonetheless, was wanting to learn how to fight and asking Parrish to teach her and getting closer to Parrish and helping him. And I really love, like, it's so hard for me to be like, yes, I'm a Stydia shipper, because I really like Lydia and Parrish. I really like Styles and Lydia too. And I think that they do the relationships really well between everybody. Like, they all have their strengths and weaknesses. But it was really nice seeing Lydia with Parrish this season.
Yeah. Hang on 1 second. Where's my phone? Oh, there. Sorry, I just moved into the shade because I was getting too hot.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on. Sorry about that.
Puppy. It's really cute. So how do you feel about Lydia wanting to learn how to fight?
I think it's good. You know, we've always said it's a bit, like, weird that, like, some of the others who don't have any supernatural defenses sort of... they, like, have, you know, nothing.
Sarcasm.
They don't have a, you know, they don't have a weapon that they, like, know how to use. Like, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the sheriff hasn't, like, taught Styles how to use a gun. Not that I believe in guns, but Americans do. So, like, I'm sort of surprised that that hasn't happened. So, you know, given that he knows what he's doing with his time. So, I don't know. It's like, is this a graveyard, or do you think that's just decorative?
I think it's just decorative.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, you should take a photo and post that because and show the people what we're sitting behind later on. Sorry, guys. Anyway, I'm sort of surprised it's taken this long for them to want, like, you know, to have that kind of physical defense. No. No. Don't do that. So... yeah, are we?
You told me to take a picture, and now I'm just not stopping.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Keep recording. Stop taking pictures. I'm surprised it's taken this long. Maybe there was just no room to slot it in anywhere else, but I do think that it is a good thing, and I really like how it done. I liked how there was, like, you know, it was kind of nice and sexy, but not like overtly. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, gross. Like, even when she like unzipped her jacket, you know, it was like not as...
She was exasperated. She was frustrated with the situation. It
yeah.
wasn't like, you know, sexy.
It was like, ooh, I'm getting you to do something. Like, it
yeah.
was way less like overtly like sexual. It was
mm-hmm.
just, it wasn't like, ooh, this is like metaphor for flirting or anything like that. But it still had like a vibe, if you know what I mean. And I really...
Which is something that I really like about their relationship in general, because it's not super in your face, but you can still tell
sorry,
that they like each other and that, you know, they're interested, but maybe right now it's not the right moment.
Yeah.
For it. But yeah, I'll completely agree that Lydia learning how to fight is... I kind of feel like, you know, it's about time, and I really like the fact that it's Lydia, because she started off as the queen bee and was revealed how intelligent she is.
Mm.
And now we know that, and not that her character's necessarily been, like, static, because she has been developing her banshee powers, but I really like this more three-dimensional, like, side to her where she's learning how to fight.
Well, I also sort of wanted to say for a moment about the whole, like, there's been some issues about, or, you know, some people having issues. I don't know whether it's just that they, you know, they ship Styles and Lydia, so they're looking for any excuse to be angry about any other ships, or if it's a genuine trigger or concern that people have. But people have been a bit concerned about their age gap of, you know, her being in school and him being, like, an adult and a cop and stuff like that. But I would sort of... like to point out again that I don't feel that it's that weird. Like, you know, it would really depend on the individual people, but she's definitely been confirmed by like by Holland and the writers as 18, like an 18-year-old, and I think she says it in the show, like, and she, you know, she says at some point in either late season 4 or like late season 4, I think she says it. Anyway, it's definitely been confirmed by the actress and the writers that this character is meant to be, you know, 18 going on 19. And one theory that I saw about Parrish, I mean, not that it needs an excuse, like, you know, how much of this fandom shipped, like, Steric for, like, 4 years, and you know, that age gap is going to be probably bigger than Lydia and Parrish, or, you know...
Considering we don't know how old Derek
well,
is.
Well, given the logic that people have tried to work out, Derek,
yeah.
there's at least 8 years between Styles and Derek, and that was like starting when Styles was like 16. Like, not that it actually happened in the show, but the tension that people were interested in seasons 1 and 2, that's a much bigger age gap, and I didn't hear too many people screaming about age gaps with that ship.
Yeah.
So but one thing, just out of interest, like, you know, I did see one theory about Parrish. You know how, like, there was that whole, like, you know, when he said that he was 24, like, in the first season that he was around, like, he kind of said it, and there was all this speculation about, like, that vibed weird. Is he actually 24, or is he, like, heaps older than that, or something like that? You know, is he immortal? You know, like, is he lying about his age? Because there was all of those cases with, like, the graduating class that was, like, Isaac's brother and stuff that were all that same age, but he didn't, like, know any of them. And people were like, oh, and then I did see the theory about, like, maybe he's younger, maybe he's actually only about 21, that he lied about his age to, like, join the military, like, that he joined when he was, like, 16 instead of 18 or something like that. So
yeah.
There's also that kind of theory,
yeah.
But
I'm
I don't
not sure,
know.
Like, they would make that
no,
into a plot.
No, I don't
point.
Think they have enough,
yeah.
like...
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely, like, young-ish. Yeah, it doesn't really bother me either, but...
Yeah.
The other thing with...
Are you taking bugs off me?
Yeah, there was a spider on your leg.
Oh, that's fine. Never mind.
Ugh.
I don't want to die, but carry on.
Theo completely messes Lydia up by the end, just sort of charges into her brain and doesn't take any care in what it's doing to her mentally, and you can see her sort of... the beginning stages of that catatonic state that she was in the very beginning of 5A. But Stephanie also asked us, when is Lydia going to Aiken, and when are they going to get her out of there? #SaveLydia. We do know that 5B starts that same night.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Lydia is basically immediately going to be going to Aiken.
Like, after her brain gets messed
yeah.
with.
Yeah. So she will be in Aiken probably within the premiere of 5B. I don't know if it'll be like a significant point or if it'll be like by the end we'll just see it revealed that she's there.
Yeah.
As far as like who and when are they going to get her out of there, I don't know, because if you think back to 5A, I feel like she's already been in there for a while. So we could be spending most of 5B trying to get her out of there, or you know, something, because we do know she's been having treatments. She sees Aiden, and Valak is her doctor. I mean, he escapes somehow, and I don't know if he takes over Eichenhaus.
Yeah, I think so. I think that yeah. Even his and the other supernaturals, and I don't know if they're trying to do good or if they're trying to do bad. If
yeah.
Like, if they're like, let's actually treat people like who need it, or if they're
he
like
he does
want to
drill
evil.
A hole into her brain.
He believes in that. He's got his own hole.
I know.
You know, do unto others as you would have done to you, Karen. Like, you know.
I'll pass in this case. But yeah, I think you're right. And I have a feeling 5B, we're going to see a lot of Lydia in Eichenhaus, which might actually be interesting because Eichen is still pretty mysterious to me. They've got that whole wing of supernatural creatures that we don't necessarily know, like, everything that's in there, and if they've escaped or if they've taken over, you know, we could be seeing a lot more plot points centering around that, which is really interesting to me, so I wouldn't mind so much.
Mm. Yeah, I would be curious to know what the changes are and whether Valak is evil or not.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's not quite as evil as I had hoped, so. Now, the other thing that kind of ties in with Lydia is the thing going on with her mom. I mean, obviously it was revealed, like, she saw the Kanema, she knows something else is going on, but Malia very specifically says to her, you know what's going on, don't you? When they kind of have that confrontation in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that was more significant than just a, like, yeah, I know you saw the Kanema. I know
maybe
you realize.
Maybe she's known about stuff the whole time and covered
that's
it up.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, that she's known about it. Like,
and she's,
you know,
because it's part of her history.
You know, that she knows about everything, but it's always, like, just been like, no,
yeah.
No, not
plus,
doing this.
Plus, we had that memory of Lydia as a child, and I feel like...
In Eichen.
Yeah, and I feel like that was not just a throwaway moment. Like, that has
yeah,
to
I mean,
be.
Eichen's not just for the... supernatural.
Oh no.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm but yeah, Natalie was there, like and it's crazy. What
yeah.
What are you smiling at?
I don't know, you looked at me funny.
I don't know. I don't know where to look. It's weird. So yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. But let's talk about Kira now, because she can't really control her powers. And she accidentally hurts her friend, specifically Scott. We see that moment where he carries her out despite getting zapped like
yeah.
crazy, which I really love that scene, actually. I thought it was really powerful.
Mm.
But the Kitsune spirit starts taking over, and this happens as soon as she cuts off Tracy's tail. That's when we first see the Kitsune spirit sort of go up in flames and get bigger. And
really?
I was wondering, yep, and I was wondering if you thought that was significant for some reason. Or if that was sort of just...
the moment when it happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know, like, you know, if it could be something... I didn't realize that it was, like... didn't know what specific moment it was. But it could be that, you know... it's, like, triggered by, like, violence or... I don't know.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Sort of, like... not that it had anything to do about Tracy, but it had to do with... like
the violent acts.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, she leaves town with her mom. And we'll get into more of, like, what we know for 5B. But she
yeah.
decides she has to do this. She has to figure out what's wrong with her because she doesn't want to hurt anybody else. And she sort of leaves
yeah.
Scott. Not in a bad way. Not in a, like, you know...
And it is to do with the Dread Doctors. Like, she remembers...
yeah.
Them doing something to her. But, like, what would they do to someone who was already supernatural? Like, were they trying to take her energy away? Or were they trying to, like, make her a weapon?
We're trying to, like, release her or release the Kitsune spirit, because they obviously use that to their advantage
yeah.
in Eichenhaus.
They're like, we need this crazy electric thing to be out of control so mm-hmm. we can get around and do
and it's
stuff.
Just one more distraction for Scott, you
yeah.
know, to kind of get him out of the way while they do their thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in her storyline for 5B just because, you know, we had a whole season about the Kitsune and the Nagitsune, but there's still so much more to learn.
Yeah.
So I just find that pretty interesting. But Malia, Malia is, her storyline is basically centering around her mom at this point.
Mm.
We find out that her mom did try to kill her when
on
she...
On purpose.
Yep.
When she was a kid. Baby.
Yep.
Not a baby, but, you know, the child.
Yeah. And the desert wolf is going to try to kill her again. She said that very specifically. So Malia wants to kill her mom.
Why do you think... Why?
Why does the desert wolf want to kill Malia?
Yeah, even as a child.
I wonder if it has something to do with... If it could have something to do with the Dread Doctors, or if it could have something to do with maybe, like, Malia has more abilities than we're aware of, or if the desert wolf is sort of like, well... This person could potentially be used against me. I better kill her before I develop any feelings about her. Because she doesn't seem like a person who has, like, any earthly ties, you know? She's
yeah,
just really good at her job.
Yeah, are we thinking she wants to kill Malia because she's evil? Or does she want to kill Malia because she thinks she's good and she thinks Malia is evil? Or do you think it's something else?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I feel like the Desert Wolf is sort of neutral. Like, she's kind of like Brayden. Like, Brayden was just a weapon for hire.
But
she didn't
Brayden
really...
was... hunting Desert Wolf before she became a weapon
yeah.
fire. Like, when Brayden had morals, she thought the Desert Wolf was bad.
Yeah, yeah, which leads me to think that, you know, she's not good, but I don't think that she's on a particular side. I think she's on her own side, and she just gets hired for various things.
Well, I don't know, like, what about the, like, Peter, like, maybe it's because she really hates Peter.
Could be. I mean...
Like, she's like, oh, you're his kid.
Yeah.
No. Because we were, you know, for a while, we were like, oh, like, is, you know, does she want to find her mother to make, you know, like, oh, because she has one parent that sucks, so maybe she can find her mother and they can be together again. But it seems the mother is even, like, Peter at least doesn't want to kill her, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know which parent is better, but...
I mean, I'm always hesitant to say... Peter is better, but in this case
might be
warranted, yeah. Theo, we know that Malia and Theo's storylines are going to be kind of tied around each other, which we'll get to that in a little bit, but we found out that Theo is the first Chimera. He wasn't perfect, which is why
he was pretty alright,
yeah.
Like not leaking and dying
yeah,
all over the place.
Exactly. So yeah. That's why he's not Lavette, which is what the Dread Doctors were trying to do. But he is the first Chimera. And
so his whole story about being bitten is a lie? Or was he a werewolf and then also other stuff?
I think it was a lie.
How did he know about the twins alpha and stuff? Like,
I mean,
he did a lot of Googling.
Probably.
You know, about werewolves.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Like, he had a really plausible story that Scott was like, oh, yeah, that
exactly.
I know about all of that happening.
And
so,
he's really
yeah.
resourceful, so, like, he would have done his homework.
Yeah.
And he obviously had heard about Scott, so if he heard about Scott, he heard about the twins.
Yeah.
Because that was all wrapped in together in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But what I found really interesting was when Stiles said, because I remember Theo from fourth grade, that's not Theo. Does that mean that he's suspicious because Theo isn't acting as crazy as he was in fourth grade? Because we knew, like, he killed his sister. Like, he's... watched her die in front
like,
of him.
Like, Theo was coming along and being nice and Scott was, and
Stiles
was like, don't you remember this kid was a psychopath and
yeah,
now he's being nice?
Exactly.
Like,
or
I don't know.
Is that, you know, just like
he just
knew something was off.
I
because Theo was pretty young mm-hmm. when his sister died. I don't know if he was like fourth grade young.
Maybe 12 or something.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know either. That...
But the other interesting thing about, like, what we've learned about him is that the speeding ticket was signed 8 years ago by his parents. That's the one that Stiles pulls out to compare, like, the two different signatures.
8 years ago.
Yeah, and the sister died 8 years ago. So is that just, like, a throwaway kind of like timeline, or do you think that the two are connected? Because remember, Styles says, like, who gets speeding tickets? People who are running away from something. I mean, granted, Malia's like, how many speeding tickets would you have? And he's like, 17 or whatever. But I just wonder if those two plot points could be tied together.
Yeah, like them leaving town after.
Because we still don't know what's going on with his, like, his real parents and who those people were, if that was meant to be. Well, no, I don't. It wasn't his real parents, because the guy had to practice to do the signature.
Maybe he killed them. I don't know. Probably.
I mean, you watched his sister die, so he can't have too much.
That scene with the fake parents is still really. I'm like, if they don't follow up on that, I'm gonna be writing a letter.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm gonna be writing an angry letter. I'm not angry, but I'm gonna be like, can you just tell me what's going on there, please?
Yeah. I want to see them back because I want to see. Like, I find it really interesting that they're so terrified of Theo. Granted, he's a chimera, so, like, he's got powers and they seemed pretty normal, but
yeah,
I would like to know, you know, how they got wrapped up in with him and, like, who they are exactly. Are they related to him at all? But we'll just have to see. Now, Theo wants a dark pack, basically. He wants the Nigitsune and he wants the, like, amped up Kitsune spirit and the Banshee who's surrounded by death and, you know, the angry Beta and all of that. So that's why he came to town, but he doesn't want Scott because clearly Scott's too good for his pack. And he ends up not getting any of those people, but he gets the zombie pack of chimeras. He brings them back to life, and they're going to play a significant part in 5B. And I think it's, you know, he kind of claims them as his own. He says, I'm your alpha. You belong to me.
And they're just like, okay.
Yeah, and I don't think they really know what to do. And I don't know if there's going to be, you know how there's, like, some sort of connection between an alpha and a beta when the alpha bit the beta. If there's going to be some sort of...
He didn't make them. Like,
no,
what?
He didn't. But he was the one that brought them back to life, even though that was more like science than supernatural.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if they're going to be like, well, we don't actually like you. See you later. Or if they're going to feel either, like, emotionally they owe it to him.
Yeah.
Or if there's going to be some sort of control that he can have over them.
I don't know. But, yeah, I you know, has he gone rogue from the Dread Doctors? Is it, like, Doctors, Theo and the zombie pack, normal pack over here? Like,
sounds like a band name, Theo and the zombie pack.
Whatever. Sure, why not? I'm sure they'll be great. Like, three different factions, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think Scott's going to have it.
Desert Wolf over
sides here. Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot. Plus, like, I mean, not that Valak is necessarily going to be a bad guy, but they're also going to be dealing with, like, Lydia.
Oh, yeah, Yeah.
So Scott's going to be surrounded.
Cool. Sounds good.
With no friends at the beginning, basically. I mean, not that he has no friends,
he always has his mom. It's okay.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
Parrish. I know we already kind of talked about him with Lydia's storyline, but we found out what he is now. He's a hellhound.
Yeah, you look really excited.
Makes me really happy.
Yeah.
But it's nice to finally know what he is. And the big question is, you know, is he a good guy or a bad guy? I think he's neutral. I think that he has a job to do.
Yeah, I think that what he does is, like, an instinctual thing. It's not like he turns into the hellhound just like, ha ha ha, I'm evil now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has an instinctual thing, and he obviously doesn't have any control or memory. It's not like, oh, I know who I am when I'm the werewolf, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like the Hulk. Like, Bruce Banner doesn't have the Hulk's memories or the Hulk's mind when he's Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when he's the hellhound, he doesn't actually, you know, Parrish. I don't think, like, Jordan Parrish is a bad guy,
no.
As I've said. Like, and I think that he is, you know, does something that's, like, yeah, just very instinctual,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, based in hiding the supernatural, which I guess, you know,
was considered good initially, but, you know, when you kind of apply it to, like, you know, killing people in order to, like, take bodies away, then
yeah.
I don't know, you know? And why aren't all those bodies at Nemecon, like, rotting and stuff?
Well, I don't think they've been there that long.
But, like, when you saw thousands of them.
Yeah. I
mean, that was a dream, but...
Magic?
Yeah,
the Nemeton?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
What if some random hikers stumbled across that?
See, I almost want to say that, like, the Nemeton is protected.
Isn't a real place.
No, I think it's real, but I think it maybe protects itself.
Maybe. So you can't find it.
You can be drawn to it, literally, but I don't think that you can just stumble across it.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah. Parrish's, you know, I want to know, too, if this is going to affect his job as a deputy. It clearly already has in a
yeah.
lot of ways, but is he going to end
up... Well, the sheriff kind of knows now and stuff.
He does, but is he going to... I mean, everybody saw him walk out of that station. So does this mean that, you know, they're more aware of... what's going on now? Does he, like... Is he going to lose his job, is basically what I'm wondering.
I mean, that seems discriminatory.
Against hellhounds?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I suppose if any other deputy kind of let loose and was like, oh, I've attacked everyone, I mean, yeah, probably a good reason to not be a cop anymore, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Need to take a nap now?
Yeah. Or if he'll feel like he, you know, he already locked himself in a cell, you know, like... If he feels like he has to not do things.
I just wonder how they're going to explain that. Like, yeah, sometimes I black out and, like, don't remember.
Epilepsy.
No, but you don't, like, walk around.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they can say as, like, dissociative identity disorder or something like that.
Jesus. Oh, maybe.
Sometimes I think I'm a deputy. Sometimes I think I'm a mythological creature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Parrish.
Melissa and Stilinski had not a whole lot this season, but again, what they did have, I feel like, was fairly significant. And first we have, you know, the sheriff wanting to obey the law no matter what, and Melissa wanting to protect the kids. And obviously, like, you know, she slapped him and they kind of butted heads there. I don't know how this is going to affect their possible romance, because something's got to give.
Like, long, like, if it's, like, if they're going, like, further apart now, or if they're, I don't know. I mean, it was a heated moment, but I don't know why Stilinski, like, hardened, like, why he chose that moment to harden down so much, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, yeah, either one or the other has to, you know, change their mind about what's going on. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of wonder if it's got to be the sheriff.
Yeah,
because not that I think he's wrong necessarily, but the whole show, like, would change completely if all of a sudden, you know, everyone decided to kind of take his route.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really realistic for the show. I'm glad that they brought it up, but I feel like he's gonna have to give at least a little bit. Maybe they can find a neutral ground to meet together, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting. And the sheriff knows Theo's evil now since he was attacked. So do you think he'll feel more compassion for Stiles and what Stiles is obviously going to have to tell him about what happened?
Does he know Theo's evil?
I mean, Theo attacked him.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so he did. Yeah, I still think it's going to be like, why did he tell me this exact story and why, like...
Yeah.
I still think there's going to be some confusion, or he'll think that Stiles is trying to cover up for Theo and that Stiles is evil too, or something like that, like, or that they did it together. I don't know. You'd think that he'd just believe him, but you never know.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about beautiful, beautiful baby Mason.
Oh, your face is so dumb, Karen.
I was like, so yeah, her face just softened. And I was like, okay, what's coming up? What? Why is she doing this? But yeah,
this is much more embarrassing doing it face to face than on Skype.
Do you do this when you record?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
But Mason finds out about the supernatural and he's really giddy about it. And it's so funny. He gets invited into the inner circle and he's just like, he just looks around in wonder, and I really like it. I mean, he's not afraid, but I think he's also very, like, respectful. I mean, he does his research, and he tries to learn about everybody and what they are and what they can do. And he becomes the research guy that Stiles was in the beginning, before Stiles obviously was more wrapped up in the central plot.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they've gone back to that, that they kind of have a research guy to be like, oh, actually, I just read about this. You know?
Yeah.
So what do you think his role is going to be moving forward? Just continual research guy / best friend? I think he has a calming effect on Liam, which yeah. I hope to continue to see.
Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that... I know that they want to give him more and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Yeah, like, as I've said, like...
Everything that Stiles used to be, I think that he has the potential to be in his own way, if you know what I mean, now that Stiles is, like, so crazy. So, yeah, like,
I think, you know, he's quite comic, but in a very different way to Stiles, and he's, like, kind of smart and helpful and nice, and so, yeah, I don't know. Good guy.
Yeah, definitely a good guy.
Cinnamon roll, person who gets into trouble and they all band together to save him. Like if he gets kidnapped or something.
I know what cinnamon roll means now.
Yeah. Karen is a cinnamon roller.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, now that I know it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Complete opposite of that. Dread Doctors.
Not a cinnamon roll.
Yeah. They were the big bad. Along with Theo, I think that they were kind of together for a little while, then separated, obviously, by the end. And each are pretty scary, but the Dread Doctors were the more mysterious of the two. They wanted to create La Bête, the beast, the original, like, werewolf-type beast. And they were just humans who worshipped the supernatural, but they're not really human anymore, which we saw that when they, like... rolled up their sleeve and like
they're like patchwork humans,
yeah, like pumped back
like they've
up.
Been keeping themselves alive in pieces for however long,
and that green liquid, they like reformed their bodies or something like that.
Yeah,
but another significant thing that I picked up on my rewatch before we ended up doing this like recap episode was the Russian dude that Deaton was with specifically referred to their masks as like gas masks.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, like, are they trying to say stay safe from something? Is this a clue to like,
well, maybe they
to what they are, or like maybe what could be used against them?
I don't know. Because they survived. What did he say they survived with the gas masks, or just I can't remember. Or, I don't know. Or it could be a clue of, like, where they came from or when they came from. But I don't know.
That's possible. I just wonder if, like, they wear the gas masks because they have something, like, they have a weakness.
Mm.
And if they're trying to protect themselves from that weakness, like, you know, wolfsbane or mountain ash or something like that. I mean, I think it'd be something other than those things. But maybe it's a clue as to, like, how to defeat them or something like that.
Yeah.
But they were also the ones who developed the chimeras, which were all genetic chimeras to begin with. And they all die. I mean, some of them come back to life, but they all die except for the final chimera, which is La Bête, which is, you know, the one that they've been trying to create this entire time.
Yeah, we don't know him yet.
Right.
Or her.
Or her. That'd be kind of cool if it was a her. Do you... How bad do you think this creature is going to be? Do you think the Dread Doctors are going to be able to control it? Do you think it's going to be worse than them?
I don't know. What do I know? Nothing. I have no idea. Like, I mean, they're surely hoping to control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it gets out of their hands, maybe it's a good guy. Like, maybe it's like, I'm the vet and you can't tell me what to do. And he turns around and kills the Dread Doctors.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's just, that'd like, some super nice guy, yeah. like, who, like, happens to get, like, experimented on, you know?
So it could be, like, Jekyll and Hyde type of thing.
Yeah.
Super nice guy during the day, except...
I don't know.
Moon comes out and he's a LaBette. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be interesting once they do reveal it. I wonder how long it'll be until it's revealed and how, like, if they... You know how in season two, basically, we had, like, the quote-unquote big bad was, like, Gerard by the end?
Yeah.
But first we had to get through Matt. So Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
that's,
like,
yeah,
figure
yeah,
out
that's
the Canem part.
Yeah.
But then it was, like, Gerard was, like, the final... bad guy.
Yes.
If, like, we have to knock out Theo, and then we can knock out, like, LaBette, and then the Dread Doctors, or the Dread Doctors, then LaBette, but...
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Possible.
I think Theo's gonna go out first, though, if anything. I don't think he's gonna be the last one standing. His days are numbered.
Like, yeah, I'll go over there and kill him myself.
But Theo did bring back four chimeras, Hayden, Tracy, Corey, and Josh for his pack.
Which one was Josh? The...
Josh was the...
Scorpion one?
Nope. Josh, I think, was the one that he killed.
Oh, yeah.
Or was he the bone marrow one?
I don't know.
No, I don't remember. It's been a
no,
while.
I think he killed Josh, I think.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That one that he killed on the roof.
Yeah, yeah. But I also wanted to bring up really quickly, too, at Justine123, a couple of people have asked us this, and they're saying someone was behind Theo and Lydia in the last few minutes. Who the hell was he or she? And I just want to say, it was nobody. That was Theo. In the distance, I saw a lot of people getting confused by this. It was the final scene where Lydia's, like, laying on the ground, and you see a pair of legs, and then in the distance, there's a figure. The pair of legs is one of the chimeras. The distant figure is Theo.
Okay.
So some people thought that that could have been, like, somebody else.
Oh, and the legs
wasn't.
Were Theo.
Yeah, it wasn't. That was Theo. But I saw that was giving people some confusion.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough.
Okay, so that was basically it for 5A.
Okay.
Now we're into 5B spoilers.
Okay.
You ready for this?
No.
You look very tired.
I am so tired, but okay. See if you can shock me into awakeness.
Okay. First thing first was the writer's room opened on June 25th, so they've been writing since then.
Yeah.
Filming began August 24th, so at this point in time, they've been filming for almost a month.
Yeah.
The theme is going to be resurrection and rebuilding, which I think has a lot of different layers, like resurrection for the chimeras, resurrection for the pack, potentially other resurrections. We don't know if, you know, somebody could be coming back who's dead. Who knows? Never know on Teen Wolf. But at Casey McCohen says, now in Beacon Hill's resurrection is possible. Do you think that Scott's pack will try to bring anybody back?
No. Not
themselves.
I don't think
so either.
Like, if someone came back by other means, like if Gerard was like, I'm going to bring Allison back from the dead, or Kate
right.
or something, they'd be like, you know, the pack would be like, Allison. But I don't think they would do any death raising themselves. I don't know. Buffy's friends did it.
Yeah.
So.
And it always has consequences. But I also think that, like, I would kind of like to see them being like, could we bring somebody back?
Yeah.
You know, and kind of deciding, no, that isn't fair, like, they're in a better place now or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, who would want to live in Beacon Hills, honestly? But also, the people that Theo brought back had just died.
Mm. Within just, like,
days.
Revived them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really different if it was Allison. Like, that would be a real zombie. I don't think I'd be into that.
Yeah.
We know that 5/11, the premiere for 5B, will air in January.
Okay.
So we've got a couple of months until it comes back. And, again, by character, this is sort of, like, what we can expect. And we've got, a whole page on the Tumblr dedicated to all of these spoilers, their sources and everything. Yeah, so I'm not going to cite any sources because I didn't write them down and it would take too long. But
we're outside
have,
on a phone.
Yeah, but we have all of the sources on the Tumblr. You guys can go check out the page and kind of explore it yourself. But Scott's working to find hope, which is what his mom said to him in sort of the final few minutes. And he's trying to bust out Lydia and stop the Dread Doctors. And he's trying to forgive Stiles, and they specifically said that's going to take more than one episode, which I think is fair. You know, I think that they had a really big falling out, and it's not to say that they can't come back together.
Yeah.
But that it is going to take some time, which I think is realistic.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they're also going to, he's going to be figuring out what effects coming back from the dead will have on the people.
Yeah.
Which I really like that concept, because you can't just come back from the dead and be who you were before. You know, I feel like it's going to put some strain on people, and he's going to have to figure out, you know, should they be back alive, I think.
Yeah.
Because they died, you know, but I don't think he'd really want to kill them again. That's kind of crap luck on their part.
Yeah.
But Stiles is going to be wondering if he has darkness inside of him. Which is also really interesting, considering, like, obviously he housed the Nagitsune, and the Nagitsune has been expelled from him. And they said, like, the Nagitsune is not necessarily going to be coming back, but I like the idea that Stiles could have a darkness to him that he has to deal with, considering how good Scott is. It really balances out the two of them and their relationship, and Stiles struggling with that, I think, would be significant and maybe something that even Scott could learn from.
Yes, I agree. Sorry, I was looking at Tumblr feedback about 5A as well, but yeah.
And he's going to have to be dealing with his dad's wounds, which we'll see in 5.11. And they haven't confirmed that the sheriff is going to survive. I mean,
I'm sure he's alive.
Yeah.
He's on set. Like, he's got a beast.
But I, like, it's... His wounds are bad. Like,
yeah,
he has to go to the hospital.
He might be disabled. Like, he might not be the sheriff anymore.
Which would be... Ooh.
Maybe people will stop calling him sheriff and they'll start calling him...
By his first name. They'll just call him Stolinsky. Or, like, Stolinsky.
Stolinsky.
Yeah, Stolinsky Sr. Something like that. I didn't think about him possibly not being the sheriff anymore, because that would kind of take him out of the running of, like, what Melissa has a problem with.
Yeah, but then who else would be in charge and might be
Parrish.
Worse? Parrish is not going to be the sheriff.
He might. But that is really interesting, though.
Yeah.
Or disabled. Yeah, if he's going to struggle. We know that. And I think the first episode is going to be a lot of sheriff.
Karen, don't move. You have a spider on you.
Oh, my God.
Are you scared of spiders?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not. And it's, like, tiny and harmless, but I'll get it. Okay, now it's gone. Okay, you wanted to do this in a park, hashtag podcast in a park.
I didn't want spiders, though.
Okay, in your idyllic world, parks are just a beautiful green land with no bugs or nature happening
exactly.
in them.
Exactly.
Just little birds that don't poop.
I don't like birds, no birds
either. Oh, you don't
either.
Like birds? There have been a lot of birds flying behind your head.
Oh, great, that's awesome.
Not that close, but on the fence.
Great. What was I gonna say? Oh, 5.11 is going to be a lot of Scott, Stiles, and Sheriff. So the three of them are going to be together, probably...
Talking about the murder, you reckon?
Probably, and dealing with Sheriff's wounds, and, you know, he's going to be in the hospital and everything, and, like, wondering if he's going to make it and all this. So I think it's going to be a really emotional episode.
Which, yeah.
Hooray! But, I don't know. We'll see. Lydia, meanwhile, will be sent to Eichen. She'll be in a catatonic state, and they compared her to Linda Hamilton in the asylum at the beginning of Terminator 2, which
I've not seen it.
Guys,
as well. Come on.
Yeah. So if there's any, like, I read the Wikipedia page and it didn't really say much about it.
Didn't really focus on that bit.
No, although she pretends to be less. Like, she pretends to be more crazy than she is or something like that. And, like, she works out a lot and stuff, so she gets, like, buff. Which I can kind of see Lydia doing. Like, she was sort of doing that in the beginning of 5A. But anybody's like a huge fan of Terminator 2 and can maybe give us some ideas of what Lydia could be doing.
Like Iroh in the prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doing pull-ups on the bars.
Iroh got, man, he got buff. But yeah. Yes, just like Iroh. They should have compared it to Avatar,
not I don't know if
Terminator
Jeff has seen
2.
Avatar.
Well, he should. Jeff,
sorry.
Go watch Avatar. Okay, Lydia's going to be connected to the Dread Doctors somehow, possibly helping to thwart them, which...
I mean, why wouldn't she be trying to thwart
exactly.
them?
Exactly, yeah.
You know.
She'll have an unexpected ally in Eigen, which
Valak.
Is probably Valak,
yes.
Since he isn't as bad as we all thought. Much thanks.
You got me excited enough to yell, see?
Yes, yes. Natalie
will.
Is awake now. So, yeah, she's very excited about that. Kira will be coming back in 512, so the second episode
okay.
of 5B. And it's going to give us a clue as to where she's been and where she's going. And in 513, she'll be in, okay, New Mexico desert working to tame the fox spirit with her mother. We know that she's going to be
Peyote
with her mother. And they're going to be exploring some difficult parts of her relationship with her mom, which I find really interesting, especially because when her mom confronted her and they had the sword fight, Kira said, this isn't exactly what I'd call mother-daughter bonding time, and I have a feeling Kira has some resentment toward her mother being more of, like, a trainer than an actual mother, because her mother is quite harsh sometimes. I
yeah.
think her father is, like, the more lovable,
yeah.
physically, like, caring person.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love Kira's mom, but I can see them maybe butting heads.
Yeah.
And hopefully Kira's mother kind of relaxing a little bit and not randomly attacking her daughter in the school with a sword.
Yeah. Maybe they've had trouble in the past, like even pre-Kitsune days, you know, and mm-hmm. that they never really connected.
Speaking of moms, next up is Malia. Her mom is not winning Mom of the Year. But Malia's going to cautiously align with Theo to take on the Desert Wolf. But, and this is the really interesting part, Theo might find that he and the Desert Wolf have more in common. So he might be switching sides.
What, to the Desert Wolf?
And working with her instead. Which, I don't think
Are
he's gonna...
Are you sure that Theo and Malia aren't brother and sister?
No, I'm not sure. But I don't know. I don't know. That could be interesting because... She doesn't really remember exactly what happened to her after the car accident. She could have ended up in a river, and he could have thought that she died.
I don't mean Malia. No, I don't mean like that. I don't mean like that she was the sister that died, but maybe that Theo is
she's like another
adopted,
sister?
Like as well. I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely like pieces missing. It's hard to put everything together at this point, but. The Nade91 on Twitter said, is Theo really going to help Malia with the Desert Wolf and why? In which way does that help him or bring him an advantage? I don't know. I mean, it depends on what he wants. Does he still want...
What does it get to get, like, Theo, you know, the Desert Wolf to trust you or bring you in, you know? Like...
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to end badly for Theo. Maybe she'll be the one that ends up killing him because I don't think she has any sort of ties to anybody. I think that she would always be using somebody for her advantage.
Yeah.
And once they stop being useful, they're done. She kills them. So it's going to be bad for Theo to work with her, but might get him out of the way, which is nice. One less player on the board. But as for, like, what advantages that's going to have for him, if he wants the rest of the pack out of the way or on his side, I would probably say out of the way, then it would make sense for him to be working with the Desert Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, is she even going to be, like... Because when we saw her, she was not in Beacon Hills. She was in Russia, obviously.
Right.
As far as we know, is she in America yet?
Yeah, because Brayden said she's coming to Beacon Hills.
She knows that she's...
Yeah, and yeah. I think she was close. And, like, you know, speaking of which...
Jeremy and I couldn't wait to...
What the fuck?
Sorry. That was an ad on Twitter that just started playing audio because I was trying to get our Twitter replies up.
Okay.
Since when does Twitter ads play audio?
That really
if anyone else has had a problem with the Uber Twitter ad playing audio ads, please tell me how to make it stop. Carry on. Sorry about that. She's coming to Beacon Hill.
She might already be close, and Brayden will be back, as will Theo's sister.
Oh, yeah?
And Chris Arjun.
Oh, yay!
Yes. So we're going to be seeing them all again. Obviously, with Theo's sister, going to be learning a lot more about her and him and what exactly happened.
Psycho.
Yeah, exactly. Also significant, Styles and Malia are essentially broken up at the beginning of 5B.
Yeah, I mean, they never really talk about it, but
no.
They sort of faded out.
Yeah, and I think it had a lot to do with maybe not trusting, like, each other to talk to the other one, and a lot going on in their lives. It didn't seem like a bad breakup, just like a, hey, you have your huge issues, I have my huge issues, we need to sort this out before...
Yeah, we can't do this.
Yeah, thing. Anything else does that. But Malia is also going to be breaking Scott's rules because she wants to murder her mom.
Yeah.
And we'll get more backstory on Malia, too, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm really curious about, like, her adopted life and like, why... I mean... Why her mother wants to kill her? There's a big question. Like, that's usually the last person that wants to kill someone, you
exactly.
know? Like, so, is it literally because it's her daughter, or is it because of something else, you know? Who the hell knows?
Yeah. Liam and Scott's friendship is going to be broken.
Which yeah, we got that.
Makes a lot of sense. And Liam and Mason are going to try to remind the Chimeras of their humanity and lead them away from Theo. And I guess Hayden has been likened to Frankenstein's monster.
Are they full-on zombies, though? They are, like, they're not, their brains aren't, it's not like, I'm Hayden. It's like they don't have a brain anymore.
I don't know if it's they don't have a brain, but they're definitely going to be warped a bit. I mean, if she's like Frankenstein's monster, then, you know, she might have, like, angry outbursts or urges to hurt people or being, like, easily manipulated. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, it seems like they're going to be, like, yeah, zombies, kind of. Yeah.
But probably more wherewithal than, like, actual zombies.
Maybe, I don't know.
And Liam will need to take responsibility for attacking Scott. Was it the supermoon? Was it his anger issues? You know... How does he really feel about Scott at this point? Does he blame him? I mean, I think he does blame him, but to what extent? And he's also going to have a secret relationship with Hayden. So I think that kind of plays into, like, Liam and Mason trying to remind...
A secret relationship.
Yeah, probably, like, keeping it from Theo, I would imagine. Maybe even keeping it from the others because...
Maybe being, like, Scott being, like, now she's not really Hayden. She's not really, like,
yeah,
fully functioning.
We can't trust her.
Not even we can't trust her, but, like, it's gross and not right for you to take advantage of her. It's like, you know, because she's not, like, all there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if she's on Theo's team...
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to want to have anything to do with her, but... Liam's probably still gonna believe that.
Oh, I love those kind of things. I love like people from different like teams having secret relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I hope that she's like okay and that it's not gross.
Yeah, and I love Hayden and Liam, so I'm excited for that. Parrish, meanwhile, will find out why he was drawn to Beacon Hills. We'll learn his exact role and how it's going to be dangerous for the others. And the Dread Doctors are going to be tied into the Wild Hunt story.
Okay.
You know, they bend the supernatural to their will, and the Wild Hunt is a reaction to that. It's a balancing out.
Okay, yeah. So some supernatural forces are like, hey, you're messing up the balance of the supernatural world. We're going to come wipe you out.
Exactly.
Like that.
So maybe Parrish will be the one to finally end the Dread Doctors. We do know from that mural that he fights Labette.
Well, he has in the past.
Right.
Or a hellhound has fought Labette in the past.
I think that they're going to come together in one way or another to fight. So,
yeah.
The sheriff, Yeah, Scott and Stiles are going to fight for Stilinski's life in 5-11. His wounds are severe. I think.
What if they turned Sheriff into a werewolf?
That would certainly get him to be on Melissa's side.
Can you imagine? Like, if Stiles was like, please bite my dad. Please. That would be weird.
That would be... Wow. And then he would be Scott's beta.
Wow, that's some weird power dynamics in that house.
Yeah. Interesting.
Can you imagine?
Wow. Okay. And they won't have graduated by the end of 5B.
Really?
Really. So
Jesus,
I don't know.
Really? They're dragging that out, like...
And we don't know when they're going to graduate, if it's going to be halfway through 6, at the end of 6, maybe not by 6 at all, who knows. But, I mean, if you think about it, 5A took place in a very short span of time, and 5B picks up that night.
Yeah.
So, it would make sense that this is just
very
small.
It's only a few more weeks after, like, it's only in the first couple of months of the senior year, and like you said, for the other 8 months of the year, they go off and have ice cream and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, oh, it's time for this weird supernatural happening, so better get the camera crews in, and then, like,
Exactly. And, you know, they're still trying to work out, like, how they want to do, like, the high school versus, Yeah, like maybe moving to college, or if it's going to have a time jump and it'll be after college. They could not have graduated by the end of 5B and still be somewhere else come season 6. But they're still working that out.
I'm sure that they'd want to have them, like, the whole sad graduation thing. Like,
Derek could come back and throw his hat or something.
Oh, he's not graduating.
No, I know, but he could have a hat that he throws. I don't know.
Isaac could come back and graduate.
I want Isaac back. Okay. All right. I have a few pieces of feedback, and then we can do whatever you have, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
But Brooke... she wants to know what the heck bird up means. We still don't know. We know it's connected to Corey.
Are you sure it's not just like an in-joke with the actors?
It could be. I don't know, but...
They did really go on about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Considering Corey...
Yeah, Michael Johnston, Corey, and then some of the other regular actors like Posey and Cody Christian and
disappeared.
Stuff.
Disappeared. Like, his power, his special power was, like, camouflage. So, I don't know what that could possibly mean, but hopefully come 5B we figured it out.
Yeah.
At @Casey_McCowan said, in past seasons, Gerard was somehow linked to every villain, so you think Gerard has anything to do with the Dread Doctors?
I mean, I think Gerard is probably the show's, like, ultimate big bad. And
what about Deaton?
Oh, and him. I think they're best friends.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So... So, I don't know. Yeah, probably. I mean,
I really want Gerard to come back just so somebody can kill him.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So I would love for him to be... And we know the Dread Doctors have been in town before, so they could be connected with him somehow.
Yeah, if they have been there before, if this has happened before with, like, Valak, you know, in his past generation, then, yeah, I'm sure Gerard, like, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I have. What do you have?
Okay, I have a few. We'll go on the email first. I got one email that I wanted to address from Raphael A.S. Holder, and this is just talking about the Void Styles thing again. This is talking about my issues with them calling Void Styles Void Styles. And he said, hi guys, I was just listening to your last podcast, and you guys were talking about how Theo calling Styles Void Styles was weird and, like, quotations, wrong. I just thought it's not wrong at all, because in season 3B, not sure which episode, it was revealed that Nagitsune's name was Void. And that's why they call him Void Styles. The episode was the one in which Isaac was fighting the big werewolf in the warehouse. This old man telling the story of the Nagitsune and said they call him Void. Oh. I did not take... No. I remember that, but I didn't take... It's a descriptor. It's not his name. It's not like, my name is Karen.
Yeah.
It was like, it's a noun. It's not a name. As in, he... Like, as in, he's void, like, he's empty. Like, void is a word that means something. And they did not mean that they were, like... it was his name, in my opinion.
I mean, I still think like that could be like an adjective.
Yeah.
Like, he is void.
That's what I mean. That's what I think
yeah,
it means.
But I'm, and I understand they could still do that in relation to stuff. Like, I think it makes more sense now that I'm remembering that than before.
Well, it was definitely a part of the show. Like,
yeah.
It was definitely something that was referenced towards the Nagitsune in the show, but it was not referenced towards the Nagitsune in the show that I felt made sense for people to go around saying void styles. But anyway, never mind about that. That's, we can move on from that situation. We had a few, hang on. So, I can't remember. Hang on. I'm just trying to find a couple here. That's it. Yeah, there's like a few messages in the Tumblr inbox that I wanted to ask you about. Sorry about the pause. Scotch trails, no. Okay, did Jeff delete his Twitter? I'm 99.9% positive that I've got Styles' real name figured out, and I want to ask him. I know it's a long shot to get in touch with him. Just wondering, though. That's from SpazTomato13 on Tumblr. Yeah, he did delete his Twitter. If you think you figured out what Styles' name is, even if you did get in contact with him, he's not going to tell you. So, yeah, like, I'm curious as to what you think it is. If you want to send us what you think it is, I'm really curious. Like, if you know about the, like, the Polish or Eastern European names that might make sense, like, I'm really curious. Please send it in, but,
Especially because I may have figured it out as well.
Really?
Maybe.
How much research have you been doing?
I mean, it's like a saved like search on my phone, so clearly.
What's Styles' name?
I said Polish names beginning with M because there's one that's like really crazy that has a lot of. It would be impossible to pronounce, and it's got a lot of consonants in it, which I think is like those are like the two clues that we have about his name. But yeah, I would like to know what their guess is and if it matches mine.
I want to know how Jeff came across this name in the first place, like, whatever it is. So that was one piece of recent feedback. There was a couple... There's just a couple of people sending in messages about, like, filming happening, which we've sort of been up to date with. And... Someone has said Snapchats from you guys would be awesome. See your day and just your collection of Teen Wolf merch. Also, Periscope would be good for cons because people can watch anytime in the next 24 hours. I don't have Snapchat or Periscope. I did get Periscope for my old phone just to watch it, other people's ones, but the phone I'm currently on doesn't... Like, it won't... It's not compatible, but when I get my new phone back... I don't know, maybe. I don't have Snapchat. Do you have Snapchat?
I do have Snapchat.
Well, maybe people can follow you on Snapchat. You don't want them to?
No.
Maybe we'll make an NATWP Snapchat.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Okay.
I do like Snapchat.
Okay. Okay, this is kind of a... And that one was from Scream Wolf. Monstrous Humans. Jeff Davis and the writers of Teen Wolf have added so many... different creatures to the show, like Kitsune, Wendigo, Werecoyotes, Berserkers, etc. At points in the show, it starts to feel like they should rename the show to Teen Wolf and a bunch of other supernatural creatures. What are your opinions on the creatures and, like, on how many creatures and myths there are added to the show?
I want more, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Had so many.
Yeah, like, it wasn't just vampires. To be fair, there were a lot of vampires. Like, that was, like, the standard thing, and we don't actually see that many random, like, oh, it's like... There's, like, 15 werewolves and occasionally other things come along, but...
I think you would have a bigger problem if all of a sudden Scott turned into something other than a werewolf.
Yeah.
That would cause a problem, but I love... And especially, I love how they've slowly opened up the universe, because at first it was mostly just, like, it was just the werewolves, and then we got the Kanema, and then, you know, slowly we worked into other things. We got the Kitsune... And then the Nagitsune and all of that, and now we are getting, like, snapshots of these other creatures. I would like to delve more into, like, the Hellhound mythology, which I think is going to be really cool, or even other significant pieces of mythology. I mean, we've talked about how we really wanted them to do more Native American stuff, which would work out really well in the setting and also in the show in general.
Yeah. want something with orca whales. They're in the Pacific Northwest, and they have lots of orca whales.
Where? Orcas?
Yeah, like on the coast. There's Native American stuff with them. I don't know. Come on, guys. Just go to the beach and give me some orca whales. There was a couple more. I just got to find them. What? What's so funny?
I want a were cheetah.
Yeah, okay, that'll happen.
They had a were jaguar. I mean, they're not that different.
Fine, okay.
Could be like Chitara.
Wow, Karen. Okay, what? Nothing, it's fine. It's good.
It's good. Stop judging me. I can see you judging me.
I'm not judging you. It's just funny. She got really excited looking at some mushrooms today in Whole Foods. And yesterday she got really excited because our friend was wearing a top with cheetahs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
She has some core interests. Okay, this isn't loading the second half of the messages, so that's fine. Give me 2 seconds, otherwise we can just finish up. I don't know. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do in the hiatus?
We are going to take suggestions for that. I'm not entirely sure. We could probably do an episode around, like, hellhounds and Parrish and that sort of thing, because I think that would be interesting to explore, especially as more news about it trickles out, I'm sure.
Mm.
But, yes, please let us know. We've done a lot of, like, character stuff.
Yeah.
Although we can do some other ones. You know, we can do, like, Liam and Mason, potentially.
How about rap battles?
Rap battles. You want to do a rap battle about Teen Wolf?
I don't know. I don't know how to do that, but yeah.
Let's not.
Can you write any raps?
No.
Have you tried?
No.
Why not? You like it?
Yeah, I like listening to it.
Okay, fine.
And, yeah, I can't really think of anything else right now. I will be going to New York Comic Con, so there is potential for news / interviews /
absolutely
an episode to talk about. But yeah, please send us in suggestions. I'm kind of out right now, and life has been a little crazy for both of us, so that's why this episode took a little while to get out.
Couple of weeks it'll sort of start. We'll have a regular flow of hiatus episodes, like shorter ones or fandom, like focused ones. If there's anyone you'd like us to talk to, like either in the fandom or to apply for an official interview, we can always try that. Like, you know, obviously we'd like to talk to anyone, but if people
have
suggestions.
We have a couple potential interviews
that's true.
But we have to just get in contact.
Or if you'd like us to do like another episode of like side projects, like of the, like, you know, reviews of the recent side projects. Like we did one like over a year ago probably of past side projects of the cast, and we could do one of stuff that's happened since. So if anyone
Scorch
had a
trials,
particular
obviously.
Thing yeah I suppose there's that, but there's all sorts of other things as well. So yeah, we can do that, and because there's been quite a few things that have come out actually, so yeah, that could work. Yeah, cool,
awesome.
Well, I think that's everything.
Have you watched Starship Troopers?
Mm-mm.
Why? You should. Deaton's in it.
My favorite person.
Yeah.
Cool, I'll watch it.
It's another terrible movie.
Yeah,
it's about big bugs.
Okay, like the ones in this park.
They're not that big. The ones in the movie are, like, bigger than, like, trucks.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yes.
Well,
okay.
We'll finish up now, and see you guys later. And I hope that you've enjoyed our background noises of trucks and helicopters and dogs and children and stuff. So yeah, that will be great.
We only got a few weird looks. So.
Yeah, that's fine. We're just having a conversation about Teen Wolf.
Yeah,
we're not like yelling.
You did yell once.
Oh, I did yell once. Sorry. Yeah, I did. Anyway, we'll finish up now. There's a puppy. We'll head off and. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. We'll get it up soon. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys later. And I totally know what song I'm going to use for the intro as well.
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.